That could be about to change, said Robert. Going by these utterly inadequate senses, something very big is ascending from the gas giant's depths. The pilot console's solitary monitor was focused on a segment of Vehrant, a magnified square of the swirling face. The muddy haze resolved itself into swirls and undulations of rust red, mustard yellow, and ash grey, coiling eddies of atmospheric airstreams that now appeared thread-like. Then a white speck became visible amid a darker braid of flows, and minute by minute grew steadily larger. After 5 minutes, it was taking on a strange, non-linear shape, while the whiteness began to look more like pale grey. After 10 minutes, the non-linearity of it seemed asymmetrical, yet oddly suggestive of something. When it reached low orbit, its nose angled upwards, and as it turned, Cao Chi finally understood what he was seeing. The Raug ship was shaped like a gigantic creature, a bizarre chimera with a wide torso, three clawed forelimbs, and three back limbs frozen in a pouncing motion. The head was broad, as were its parted jaws, and above fierce blank eyes, halfway back between raised pointed ears, there nestled a second, smaller head. Cao Chi was startled to realize that this was none other than the Raug ship Virk, the vessel from which he and Ajigil had carried out that hyperspace rescue.
"Seeing something familiar, Cao Chi?" said Robert.
He nodded and explained his voyage aboard the Virk.
"But I knew nothing about this. It's huge. It must be nearly a mile long."
"Nearly a mile and a half, actually," Robert said. "And it's heading straight for us."
Its course was undeviating. With the lateral manoeuvring jets, Robert was able to turn the assault craft to face the oncoming Leviathan. The Shintanil vessel was soon dwarfed by the Raug ship's immensity. As the grey curves of its beast-like exterior expanded to fill the viewport, it slowed, and a rectangular opening appeared in its chest. A slight jolt passed through the smaller craft, and Robert looked up from the readouts.
"Their grappler fields have us, pulling us into that bay."
The docking bay entrance seemed small at first, but quickly grew. Before long, the assault craft passed into a docking area provided with all sizes of berths and cradles spread out over a huge interior space. Ambient sources cast a shadowless light into every corner, while crew members down on its deck looked minuscule. A big, pale yellow platform swung out from one of the vacant berths, and the Shintanil vessel was guided in to make a perfect landing next to a second ship, a large, rectilinear, square-hulled transport. Then the rear hatch unsealed and began to lower.
"Nothing to do with me," Robert said. "Our hosts have taken complete control."
Much to Cao Chi's surprise, four humans wearing shoulder panniers walked up the ramp. They were dressed in human-sept work suits, although their faces were not familiar. Three of them approached the Heracles survivors and began to distribute food and drink, while the fourth, a woman, approached Cao Chi and introduced herself as Mu Liang, explaining that they had been piloting gravity tugs when the attack took place,